Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the Raiders practice facility at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. This is the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
You know, the biggest thing I say with our players is that I try to be demanding, but not over the top. I just use this analogy with these guys today. It ain't prison, but it ain't a country club. So we're somewhere in the middle there is where we got to get these guys to perform. There's going to be some times where I got to love them up because they're going to need that love. And then there's other times like, come on, man. We got to do better than this. And I think that's where I come into play, trying to make sure that these guys are held accountable, but not so over the top that they don't like the game of football. We got to keep the love of the game of football. And if we can get them to do that, we may like our results on Sundays.
That's Raiders defensive backs coach Ron Miles. And, you know, he's somebody that we've been, talking up throughout this offseason. Ever since Gus Bradley got this job, the new defensive coordinator, and decided to bring Ron Miles with him, the secondary coach, Richard Smith, the linebacker coach, and of course keep Rod Marinelli, the defensive line coach. We've been talking about the track record of Ron Miles, the excellence really of Ron Miles. And what's really interesting is, and we saw this at practice last week, he gets after it. And, you know, he and Derek Carr had a running conversation going during a red zone period where it was Derek Carr, his wide receiver, and a cornerback defending the wide receiver. And they must have been lined up, at the 5-yard line, maybe the 10-yard line. And it was me, you, and him. And one of us is going to win this battle, and one of us isn't. And Ron Miles was standing in the end zone, backing his guys up, and reminding everybody, including Derek Carr, what the score was, because the defense – over the course of that particular period that I'm kind of reflecting on, the defense won the battle. The defense broke up passes. The defense forced incomplete completions. They were where they were supposed to be. Yeah, definitely the offense won its share. They should, in a lot of ways, because they had when it's one-on-one coverage and the wide receiver knows where he's going and the quarterback knows where he's going, it's difficult for the defense to win that rep. But they won their share of reps, and there was Ron Miles making sure everybody understood it. And I asked him afterwards, was that backing your guys up? Was it trying to kind of push some buttons with Derek Carr? What was behind that? And he said, a little bit of both, to be honest with you, a little bit of both. But, hey, this is about competition. And I know Derek Carr, he was being a competitor as well, and it means a lot to him. Derek Carr, don't ever think that Derek Carr, it doesn't burn like really intensely in his stomach to win. Anyone who doesn't think that or questions it, you're just, you don't understand football and you don't understand people. And you could take that garbage someplace else because Derek Carr wants to win and every rep. I see it every day, and I saw it that I'm talking about. And he and Ron Miles on a hot day in Henderson, Nevada, toward the end of a practice, and he was acting like it was the Super Bowl. And that's how you have to be, and that's how Derek Carr is. But getting back to Ron Miles, to see him backing his guys, and his guys are playing hard out there. They're playing smart. They're playing hard. They're playing effectively. They're defending people. It's pretty cool to see, and I think if it can carry over to this, I think it can carry over to the season. We'll see. But to me, it's a pretty good start for that secondary, getting backed up by a guy that's seen it, done it, knows what it looks like, knows what it doesn't look like. It's an ace that the Raiders have up their sleeve with Ron Miles. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Dana is in Boca Raton, wants to talk about Gerald McCoy. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, Vinny. How you doing?
Doing excellent. I love Boca Raton, by the way.
Man, it's like it's so beautiful right now. Like the sunset, the air, it's like there's no wind. It's like a rare afternoon here. Vinny, I was watching the press conference earlier, and, you know, I watched the interaction between you and Gerald McCoy, which, by the way, I mean, like I already said it months ago, that you are the Allegiant Stadium of Raiders coverage, right?
Oh, man, but thank you.
You always lead off every press conference, which I've noticed, so you're becoming like the godfather of the Raider Nation. And by the way, I think that we're going to graft you in soon enough, and you're going to be a Raider fan before you know it. But nonetheless, the way that you – that guy, dude, Gerald McCoy, I mean, I've seen him through the years, and I've seen him on the NFL films, and I've seen him, and I'm like, man, that guy is something else. And then to see him in silver and black, I mean, like, I called Q's show because after I heard JT talking about the way, I mean, that he was preaching and the way that he was, you know, talking, and as somebody else that I try to be a leader, a mentor, a teacher, and I've been a coach. And to see somebody else like that, and the way that, I mean, I'm sure the press room that you guys were all like, oh my goodness, this is different, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And this is the alpha dog that if he has the gas in the tank that I hope he has, I mean, this is the signing that could take us over the top. But the other thing is too, Vinny, last week I wanted to call in so bad, and you've been talking about the difference in the kind of people that Gruden and Mayock have been signing.
Yep.
And I would say this. I noticed it when the draft of all the Clemson players, you know, right, because Dabo Sweeney, he recruits good Christian young men that he can turn into great Christian men. And then we take three of them. And then the guy from Alabama and Josh Jacobs, we know his story. He's a man of faith. And then you got Foster Moreau, who wears that special number for the leader in LSU. And then you see, I mean, dude, I have to stop for a second. Raider Nation, if you guys aren't watching these press conferences and seeing everything, like the coaches that Vinny's talking about, Foster Moreau, and you're not filled with optimism, you need to spend some time on Raiders.com. So back to what I was saying, these guys, they're bringing in. And then when you watch the men that they bring in, and I'm telling the guys that I know, I'm like, they're bringing in like guys like Derek. They're bringing in guys of faith. They're bringing him over and over. Then you see Yannick Ngakoue is the big signing. And his Twitter account has got the Easter picture of the three crosses. And then you bring in Gerald McCoy. And what is the first thing it says on his Twitter account? Christ follower. They're bringing in men of quality, men of character, men of God that can withstand the temptations of Las Vegas and rise above. And that is the plan. And we can see it. And I'm so excited about it. And Vinny, you've been right on top of it. And I'm overjoyed. My silver and black cup is not half full. It's overflowing. And I'm excited for what's to come. And I thank you for the time you've given me.
I appreciate it, Dana. And you know, we'll see if it translates on the field, you know, and that's going to be the ultimate test. We all, you know, understand that. And football seasons unfold the way they unfold. Every one of them is unique to themselves. So we don't know what's out there. We don't know what the pitfalls are going to be. We don't know what twists and turns this year is going to take for the league itself, for the Raiders in particular. But I can say this. I think the character of player that the Raiders are seeking out and identifying and kind of mandating themselves to stay, you know, within that parameter to and not deviate from that and not accept anything less. I think the Raiders did that a little bit, you know, with a couple of guys, and I think that what happened with a couple of those guys or what didn't happen and how it turned out and what ultimately happened probably reaffirms the conviction that they have to make sure that they're populating this locker room with good people. And I've seen it so many times in my career, one way or another, both ways, the bad ways and seasons turn sour and guys start pointing fingers and the floor collapses because there really wasn't a foundation of character and a professionalism and you know, dedication and all those things. When you don't have that, the first minute that something starts cracking or being challenged, it's going to fall apart. You know, when I go back to you know, my days covering the Rams, and I was thinking about this when some of the callers have been talking about what they're starting to see just on video or on live stream of what we're seeing on a daily basis of the type of people that are here now for the Raiders, and it's getting more and more like that. Like there's so many impressive – Zay Jones. You know, I know he's been around for a little while, but there's a reason why he's here, even though maybe the statistics don't show it. To have somebody like that in your locker room is invaluable. Unique Ngakoue, who's going to put production behind the person that he is and the leadership that he brings, and Max Crosby and Clee Farrell. These are winners in life, and that's I don't take that lightly. And I go back to my time with the Rams. They signed a guy by the name of Andrew Whitworth, one of the most unique, humble human beings I've dealt with in professional sports. A big old dude from Louisiana who was friends with everybody on that team. Didn't matter what they looked like, what their background was, any of that. He was – and I remember talking to the Raiders' decision makers, and here's, you know, Andrew Whitworth, who they paid a pretty penny for, coming up on 35 years old at the time, 36 years old at the time. And their thought process was, number one, need a left tackle. Number two, this is a guy who leads and wants to lead. And the Rams felt like they had leaders on that team, but they were just so darn young that they weren't quite there, ready to lead. And they brought in a guy that was going to show them how to lead, show Michael Brockers, show Aaron Donald, show Jared Goff and some of the others on that team what it looked like to be a leader. And to emulate that and to follow that and to use that as your reference point and as your lead and then go do it yourself. And that's exactly what's happened. Andrew Whitworth is still there. But now they have a team full of leaders as well, guys that were on the cusp of being that, didn't quite know how to put it together, and then saw what it really looked like. And I feel like that with some of the youngsters that the Raiders have on this team and the great veteran presence that they now have to be able to emulate and look at and watch and observe. And just like those Rams teams had a bunch of young players that wanted to lead, that wanted to do it right, but just needed a little bit more guidance, especially within their own locker room. That's what I'm sensing and seeing with these Raiders. We're going to go back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Alan is in Las Vegas. How you doing, Alan? Do we have Alan?
Can you hear me?
I got you, brother.
Oh, awesome, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good, Alan. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I have another question for you, but I actually want to chime in on this current topic of leadership. And like you said, it's great that we've brought in different players, and even if they're not starters, they're even if they're second string, they have like a certain role, like a certain purpose on this team. And I think that helps, that, like you mentioned, the leaders on our team, especially the quarterback and the leader on defense, that in crunch time and close games in the fourth quarter when there's a minute left, when you need to know that the guy next to you is going to trust, that you can trust them to make a play.
Yes.
And that element of trust just takes you so much further, as opposed to, man, we're not going to make this play. There's no way. You know, we just can't do it. I mean, you got to have that faith that the 10 other men that are on the field with you are going to do their job, and that you yourself can do your job.
No doubt about it. I completely agree. And I think that if you look at last year in particular, those moments defensively were when the Raiders were the most disconnected and the least confident and played that way. You know, they'd have moments throughout the game. And it wasn't just late in games. It was key moments, like third downs. The Raiders would play good defense first and second down sometimes. Maybe even put them off schedule, the other team. Maybe it's a third and 14 now because the Raiders played really well. They're flying around, making some plays, pushing the offense back. But when it got to third and 14, third and 12, third and 8, when you were supposed to and need to be at your best, be the most connected, be the most confident, that's when they would fall apart far too often. And they just weren't ready to do it last year. There's a lot of reasons why that was the case, but I think the Raiders have addressed some of those reasons. And from a coaching standpoint, bringing in some veteran leadership, being able to get guys into a building the way they were this offseason, some of their younger players that they are fully counting on taking big step forwards, not only as players, but as leaders. And I think that they feel like they're headed in the right direction in that regard, and I'd be shocked if they weren't. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Bernard is on the line, wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Bernard?
Hey, Benny, how you doing?
I'm doing really good, thank you.
Hey, I want to just comment again. A couple of calls ago, a guy called in and said that you guys stayed. I think I said it before, but, man, you guys is giving us an outlet, man. It's heaven sent, man, because we didn't have representation up here in the Bay Area. I still live up here. Had season tickets, and they gone now. But, man, it seemed like they haven't left because we got so much content with you and Q and Devon representing, man. It's awesome, man, because it's like they still here almost. I'll tell you the truth, even though they're not – you know, we can't drive 35, 45 minutes to the stadium. We get better coverage now than we ever had the whole time they was here. So we love your show, man.
I appreciate that. And also, hey, don't forget to go check at least me out over at the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Vegas Nation, VegasNation.com on the computer. Download the app, Vegas Nation. We got you covered on that end of it, too, from a content standpoint, videos, all that type of stuff, stories, all of that. So between... you know, what we're doing over at Vegas Nation, what we're doing here at Raider Nation Radio, you're why we do this, and it makes my heart feel good to know that, you know, up in the Bay Area, you guys are listening in, and we're giving you maybe more than you even had when they were up there. That's why we're doing it. It makes me feel really good, brother.
Oh, yeah, I read your stuff, too, man. You guys, you good, man. I love y'all show. Thanks for the support. Just let me get this in real quick.
Yeah.
I love the tidbits we get from Gus Bradley and Miles. Haven't heard Richard Smith speak yet. I maybe missed it, but they just awesome, man. And I just love how he said earlier. He said sometimes you gotta love them up,
yep.
And sometimes you know you gotta let them know. And it was one thing you got to think about. We need that veteran leadership. I was thinking about that, and I said these guys are so young and they get this money. They have a lot of distractions. I didn't buy my first house, I think, until I was like maybe like 30 years old.
Right.
These guys got it. I heard somebody, I think it was Farrell, he's like, man, I had to buy groceries, mm-hmm. do my own laundry, buy a new house. I mean, can you think about having to deal with that and coming into the NFL at such a young age? You know, that's a lot of things to think about. Then you have to look at football. This is your job now, and you're going against grown men, you know, that are fighting for salaries and their livelihood. So that's a big adjustment. And the COVID thing last year with such a young team, I knew it was going to have a big effect, especially on the defense. I think the offense was set. You got Carr, and they already had their groove going. You know, they proved they didn't miss a beat. And they're going to go pick up a few more steps this year. I think it's going to be awesome what they can do. Just this defense just need to improve a little bit, and with the teachers that they have, I think they're going to be fine. They just need to take a couple steps forward. And real quick before I go, mm-hmm. they teach, man. These coaches teach. And Gus Bradley said, we keep track of mental mistakes.
Yep.
I love that. And he said, credibility breeds confidence. So, you know, when consistency breeds credibility. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, absolutely.
So all these things that he says, I mean, it shows. If you don't show me consistency, you're going to be sitting next to me on the sideline or standing next to me on the sideline.
Exactly.
So I'm looking for these guys to take a step forward. With all the teaching and the athletic ability that they have, I think we're going to see it on the field this year.
And I think this Raider defense now is at the point where they're not going to just be giving away snaps. They're just not. There are some guys, I don't want to name names, but there's been some guys the last few years that were getting snaps because they didn't have any other options other than that guy, and that guy wasn't really that good. Let's be honest about it. And if you're still on on hold or with me, you mentioned Clelin Ferrell, coming in as a 21-year-old kid, buying his first house, making his first mortgage payment. I wasn't here when Clelin got here as a rookie. I remember coming up with the Rams and seeing that 2019 team in training camp. And I was just, and I know I was talking to people as well, and it was just like, wow, this is going to take a little while for the Raiders to get this thing turned around, for John Gruden to get this thing turned around. And I just remember back, or think back to that time when guys like Jonathan and Clee and Max were coming onto the scene. Who do they have as role models on that Raider team, on that Raider defense specifically? I know Derek Carr had charge of that offense, and that was getting in order. You can see that starting to head in the right direction. But defensively, and again, not to point any fingers at guys who were here, but whether it was just guys that were not very good, so the production, wasn't to be respected, or their presence wasn't commanding. I don't know who the Raiders defense had, those young defensive players that were starting to come in 2019, who they had to look up to as role models. And, I asked Gerald McCoy today, who are you, did you get this? Did you have this kind of understanding that you're expressing right now, right off the bat? Very few guys have that kind of shrewdness and understanding and professionalism right off the bat. Usually there's an older guy, a respected veteran that you look up to and you start emulating and start learning from. And he, named a host of guys that did that for him, including Drew Brees, who he would work out with during the offseason. Interesting, funny little story. Keyshawn Johnson, everybody knows who Keyshawn Johnson is. I'm sure there's an image of Keyshawn as, come on, man, and all that, throw me the damn ball, the book that he had. And I'm sure there's an image of Keyshawn Johnson. But I could tell you, knowing Keyshawn and spending some time with him and doing some stories on him, he's a dude that gets it and understands it. And he told me one time, Vinny, I could go into any locker room. And within a minute or two, 5 minutes or so, be able to figure out who the knuckleheads are and who the real ones were. And I don't want to have anything to do with the knuckleheads. You go do your knucklehead thing and see you later, because you ain't going to be around here very much longer anyway. I don't want anything to do with that element. I'm going to go over here with the real ones, because I know they're going to be here. I know I'm going to be able to learn from them. I know I'm going to be able to take something from them. I know that I'm going to be able to rely on them. And so it's important to have that on a team. You can't, you're always going to probably, you don't want this to ever be the case, but you're always probably going to have some, Like guys that aren't really willing to lead, guys that aren't capable of leading, guys are, just don't want to lead, whatever the case might be. But you know what? They show up on Sundays, and they blow things up and they play great. And that's how that's their thing. All right, and you just kind of leave them alone and get what you can from them, on the other end of things. But the fewer of those guys that aren't good in some other areas, the better. And usually you want somebody that's going to be able to produce, and somebody that you're going to be able to rely on, somebody that's going to be willing to either lead or accept leadership. That's the other key. If you don't want to lead, that's fine. Not everyone's cut out to do that. And sometimes it comes across as fake or forced when you try to do it. But don't resist leadership. That's part of being a good person too, and having character. Accept leadership, embrace leadership, especially when it's coming from a good place. And so I think the more I watch this team, the more we're able to now kind of interact with these guys. It's not a lot, but we're seeing them closer on the football field and in practice, getting a chance to talk to them, look them eye to eye, which I totally enjoy. And there's merit too. At some point, we're going to be able to get back to the locker room where you can kind of get in another layer of it. But from what I'm seeing, there's been a major turnaround in terms of character and professionalism and people, and good people and reliable people. It usually works out that it works out better on the field that way. we're going to have to wait and see. But I'm anxious and fascinated, really, to find out if that is going to be the case for the Raiders this year. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
This team is going to catch a lot of people off guard, and there's a lot of talent in this locker room. And defensively, you know, what I can bring is just my leadership and experience. More than just what I can do on the grass, what I can do you know, on the side while guys are learning in the meeting rooms, outside of the building, just teaching guys how to be pros. I always believe there's a difference in being a professional and a pro. When you get drafted, or whether you don't get drafted, undrafted, free agent, whatever, once you sign a contract in the NFL, you're a professional. It doesn't make you a pro. Being a pro is how you approach every day. How you prepare, how you watch film, what do you do when times get tough on the field, what are you eating, you know, how are you learning how to be successful in this league? That's what I believe is being a pro, and not all professionals know how to be pros. So my experience, I can help a lot of the young guys and even some of the experienced guys, teach them how to really be a pro more than just a professional football player.
Did you get that right off? That was new Raiders defensive tackle Gerald Everett talking about what he brings to the table. One more time, Damon, didn't quite hear you right there. What he brings to the table, not just out on the grass, which I think is going to be pretty evident when he gets right and gets into the swing of things, and you know, starts getting acclimated here with the Raiders. I don't think you're going to see him on Saturday in the preseason game. You might not see him in the preseason at all. But I think, you know, being a month or so out of the season right now, there's plenty of time for Gerald McCoy to get himself right and to get and put himself in a position where he's going to, you know, be able to produce on the field and be a factor on the field, be an asset to the Raiders on the field. But in the meantime, you just got to go. You see him in practice talking to guys. Guys are coming up and talking to him, and he's always instructing. He's always kind of animated and you know, showing them things, giving them examples. And he talked today. You know, he talked today about how, number one, you know, what he's finding are guys who want to get better, who have that burning passion and burning desire to get better. And that's what I go back to with be open to teaching and leadership. Don't be closed off to that. And Gerald expressing, and he's not trying to pat himself on the back. In fact, he made it clear, like, I'm not taking any credit here necessarily for this, but I feel like some of what I've been able to point out, guys, and you know, in terms of, hey, maybe do it this way. Think about this move or this hand placement, or keep an eye on that when the guard does this or the quarterback does that. You know, reading situations so that you kind of have an idea of what's about to happen to give you a leg up on this rep and on this next snap. He felt like, in his estimation, the practice today the defensive line had a week or so into his being a part of this and being a player coach in a way, he felt like today's practice reflected, you know, what's been happening this last week. And he's like, I'm not doing it. He made it clear that he wasn't taking credit for it, although I think that he's had an impact. And he felt like today's practice, this team got better today. This defensive line got better today because of their own work ethic, but also them being open to learning. Remember we talked about Michael Oluwakande? He was I think he was the number one pick overall by the Los Angeles Clippers years and years ago. You know, granted, made a lot of money because back then, if you were a first pick in the draft, you're going to make a lot of money. Great. Good for him. And hopefully he saved a whole bunch of it. He always seemed like a pretty smart guy. Hopefully, you know, he saved a lot of it because his playing career didn't last as long as you would expect a number one pick, a first overall pick, to play out, all right? And one of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was hired by the Clippers to help Michael Olowokandé. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I don't have to say anything else other than that name itself, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Arguably, not just the best center to ever play the game, but if you go back and look at things from high school to college at UCLA to what he did in the National Basketball Association, winning six championships, yeah, same amount as Michael Jordan, scoring championships, has the most points in league history. Right off the bat with the Milwaukee Bucks, an expansion team the year before, within a couple of years, the Milwaukee Bucks are winning the NBA Finals. As a freshman at UCLA, when freshmen weren't even allowed to play, his freshman team beat the UCLA varsity team. The UCLA varsity team was undefeated that season and won the national championship. But Kareem, then Lou Alcindor, and that freshman team, his freshman class, beat them. That's how good he was. He was a great player, is the bottom line. And we all know that. And he was brought in specifically to help a young center by the name of Michael Olowokandé. And he's trying to teach him the hook shot, this and that. And the player just wasn't really open to what Kareem was trying to teach him. And it's like, how could you not listen to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? How could you not be open to his suggestions? And, you know, so leadership, we're talking about leadership and the willingness to lead. Not everybody is cut out to be a leader. And that doesn't make them a bad player, a bad person, or anything like that. It's just you leadership, true leadership, and the willingness to be a leader. You almost have to be born with that. Like, that has to be part of your DNA a little bit. Not everybody has that DNA in them, and that's fine. But if you're not going to be a leader, be a great follower. Be an open-minded follower. And I don't say follower in a bad way at all. I'm talking about being willing to listen and to learn and to embrace that and to embrace leadership, especially when it's coming from a good place and leading you in the right direction. There's guys that just don't. I know it all. I don't need you to tell me anything. Or one ear and out the other, not paying attention, not heeding the advice. When we talk about character and we talk about leadership qualities and putting the right people in place and building a team, you know, full of as many good people as you can possibly find, part of that is that part of it. Guys that want to learn and are willing to learn and are willing listeners become sponges to people that are offering them advice, offering them guidance, offering them teaching because they're trying to make you a better player. Guys, not everybody is that open to learning. And it's like, you know what? Wow, you know, what are you going to do, right? You know, you can lead a horse to water, right? You know, there's all the cliches. But at some point, you're going to have to be willing to learn, and you're going to have to be willing to listen to that advice, heed that advice, and then put that advice to action. And I really do believe that a lot of this Raider team that John Gruden and Mike Mayock are building and the type of players that they're bringing in, you're getting your share of leaders, but you're also getting your share of guys that are humble, guys that are willing to learn and want to learn and want to get better. And that's sometimes 90% of that battle. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Mitch is in New Jersey. How you doing, Mitch?
How's it going? How you doing, Vinny?
I'm doing good, man.
Great. You bring up some a Warner classic. Just call it what it is. He was a bust. Or is he went to the Central Pacific? I forgot what. Yeah. Candy. Yeah. Michael. Yeah. He was a bust. they try, at least. Well, Jerry Wesley didn't come to the Clippers earlier. And Keyshawn Johnson, I'm surprised he was never a Raider. He would have looked so good in a Raider uniform.
True, true.
We had somebody that was pretty close, and I thought he had a great career at USC also, and I thought he was going to have a good NFL career, but I guess he liked the food too much. Michael Williams.
Right, exactly.
You remember Michael Williams?
Yes, the USC Michael Williams.
Yeah, that's true. That's a common name. It's only.
Yeah.
He's
funny. I'm reading an article. It was in Yahoo Sports about the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Olowokandi situation. And the headline is, Kareem is still mad at Michael Olowokandi because he just, you know, he just wasn't open to, it was frustrating for Kareem. And I know
really?
Kareem.
Not even open.
Yeah, stubborn, exactly.
Stubborn million. And the Bucks, whatever they got for him, maybe Junior Bridgman, they got ripped off. Something like that you don't trade. I mean, I don't remember the Bulls trading Michael Jordan. I'm sure they had offers.
Yeah.
You just somebody like that's one of our worst trades. I'm saying, McCoy, I'm glad we have him. And I heard the Raiders got, he's playing like a quarterback just to, you know, fill in. I'd love to see, I hope it's Jamie Newman. I don't know who it was.
No, it wasn't. It was not Jamie Newman. The Raiders did bring in a quarterback today. You know, they're playing a game on Saturday. Obviously, you don't want to be in a position where you gotta, you know, play somebody that's not a quarterback at quarterback. If God forbid a bunch of guys get hurt, we can pretty much count on Derek Carr either not playing or playing extremely limited snaps on Saturday. That leaves Marcus Mariota and Nathan Peterman. And I don't expect Marcus Mariota to play a whole lot himself. Maybe, he gets the bulk of the first half. Maybe he gets the entire first half. We'll see how it all plays out. But at some point, he's going to be out of the game, and you're not going to bring him back into a game. You're not going to do that to him or Derek Carr or anybody else. So Nathan Peterman gets the rest of the game. What happens if he gets hurt? What happens if something were to happen? You need to have somebody on the roster that you're going to be able to say, hey, you're a quarterback. You can go out and play. It benefits him because he's going to get a chance to put something on tape potentially. But it's more than anything, it's an emergency type situation, just so you don't get caught in a number situation or have to do something like put, you know, your backup punter at quarterback or your punter at quarterback, whatever the case might be. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila and Bahadur.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Right back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Raider Dave is in Denver. Raider Dave, how are you doing, my good friend?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, I think that Carl Joseph coming back, when the starters go out and he comes in, I think he would play for Joseph. And if they start running the defense where his position would be close to the line, I think you might see some really good things.
Yeah, and he's been getting some run. He's been getting some run at that position and at that safety spot. Keep an eye on Tyree Gillespie. He just got back to practice. I think it was Saturday. Might have come back or Sunday, or he might have been back on Saturday as well. I had some things I had to take care of on Saturday while practice was happening, so I was in the media room working. But watching Tyree Gillespie and just looking at him, this dude is put together. And you know, John Gruden talked about it earlier this preseason, or excuse me, during training camp, about how, you know, he might be able to play some of that linebacker position as well, in addition to playing down in the box, which I think that's where he profiles most. So.
Yeah, and that brings up another thing about Muse.
Oop, go ahead.
He was more of a hybrid where he could play safety too. So that's kind of one of those linebackers that can do both. And I believe that's why Bradley likes him so much.
Are you talking about Tanner Muse?
Yeah. I think Muse is like that. I think you're right about Gillespie. But I just think that Johnson has a point to make. And I think he'll be smacking people around pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm really curious and fascinated to see some of these young guys that have been lining up and getting – you know, starter type snaps that I have a feeling are going to be in the game. A guy like Tanner Muse, I think, almost has to be out there Saturday. And the way he's lining up, where he's lining up as that strong side linebacker.
And I got another quick question.
Yeah, go for it.
Usually with four preseason games, the first preseason game, you're going to see the starters go out there for one series. You think they'll do two or three with only three preseason games going? How long do you think the starters will be out there?
Well, it's an interesting question. We didn't get a chance to talk to John Gruden today. I wanted to get his thoughts on what his plan was for the preseason. Keep in mind, I know that they don't play the fourth preseason game, but they do play the third preseason game is exactly where it falls typically, all right? So, and that third preseason game is usually that dress rehearsal.
Yeah, we're going to have like 2 weeks or something like that before the first opening game.
Yes. When they eliminated the fourth preseason game, they literally eliminated the fourth preseason game. It wasn't like they moved everything up or everything back or anything like that. They just, what they did was they eliminated the fourth preseason game. And as a result of that, like you said, there's going to be a 2 week off period until that first game. So I would suspect for
and
teams,
where's the 53 cut down and all that?
Well, they yes, now they, and also the cuts are different than they were last year. The last couple of years, if you remember, you basically didn't make your cuts until after the fourth preseason game. And why that was the case is because you needed bodies. You weren't playing any of your starters, in that last preseason game. So you needed enough bodies to get you through that game. So what the NFL said after coaches urged these guys, like, I'm not playing my starters. Don't ask me to have to play my starter if somebody gets hurt. Give me my 90 guys so I can, you know, feel comfortable about playing. You know, those guys are going to get, unfortunately, cut, within the next couple of days. But now, because there's no fourth preseason game, you don't have to play that game or that math game. So the cuts are going back to kind of a more traditional manner.
Great stuff, Vinny. You're killing it, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Raider Dave. Thank you very much. I want to read you guys before we get out of here, because I told you the story about Michael Olowokandi and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I want to read you this quote from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and it's directly relates to what we were talking about how not everybody's a leader. We get that. We understand that. And you don't ask everyone to be a leader. There's a certain, cut of person that is willing, that's able, that can do it effectively, and do it genuinely and in a way that people respond to positively. So not everyone is cut out to do that. But if you're not that, then you at the very least have to be, a good person. And part of being a good person is being a willing learner, especially even at this level, because what you learn, especially early on, is going to set the tone for everything that you do beyond that. And if you're closed off to it, you're just damaging yourself and derailing yourself. You're a detriment to yourself. This is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar talking about Michael Olowokandi. I have seen this process firsthand. When I coached for the Clippers, I had to deal with Michael Olowokandi, a player who perfectly fit the description, talented but uncoachable. At practice, I would attempt to point out Mr. Olowokandi's faults to him, ones he constantly repeated and resulted in lost possessions for the team or personal fouls that sent him to the bench. His reactions to my attempts to correct his bad habits was to take my input as a personal insult and embarrassment. He told me point blank that he would not be criticized in front of the team. He stuck to his word and as a result had very few successful moments on the court playing the way he wanted to play. He took his place on the list of athletically gifted washouts who have been in and out of the league in the last 10 years. That's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar talking about Michael Olowokandi and talking about Michael Olowokandi, the first pick overall in the NBA draft, and was unwilling to listen to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because he was taking it as a personal insult. Jeez, can you get out of your way, or can you get in your own way more than that? Michael Olowokandi was a washout. Michael Olowokandi was a bust as a top pick overall, and it sure sounds like, I would wonder if he has any regrets looking back on being as stubborn as he was, because that's just ridiculous. And if you're going to go through life like that, good luck to you, because you know what? Whatever you set for yourself, whatever goals you set for yourself, if you're not willing to be taught, coached up, led, learn, then, you're not going to go very far. And so that's just and I feel like obviously the Raiders are bringing in a lot of leader-type players or a handful of leader-type players, veterans, but what I'm seeing also are these younger players being willing to learn and listening and being sponges, and that is hugely, hugely important. Just that willingness. Hey, I want to say thanks to Jesse Merrick for joining us in the huddle, our good friend from the local affiliate here in Las Vegas, Channel 3. Thanks to all the callers. You brought it. I really appreciate it. We do this for you. This is why we do what we do, whether it's here at Raider Nation Radio or me covering the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Vegas Nation, VegasNation.com. We're here for you. And thank you so much for the support. We're going to continue to give it back to you, double that, and you can count on that. You're in the huddle. Oh, thanks to Devon Cotton, of course, for making us sound good and doing his thing down at home base. Appreciate you. We're back at it tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. Another practice will be put in the books. We'll talk about it, and it'll take us one day closer to the preseason game. How cool is that? The Raiders welcoming in the Seattle Seahawks Saturday night at Allegiant Stadium. Can't wait. You're in the huddle. Vinny Bonsignore brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We at Raider Nation Radio want to congratulate Coach Tom Flores for being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
We have people from Sanger here. Long way to come. From Sanger. Did you ever try to get here? It's not an easy place to get to. I've been trying for a long time to get here.
And we agree, Coach, not an easy place to get into, but we are so glad you finally arrived.
Thanks to you, Southern Nevada, Finley Chevrolet has gone back to back. For the second year in a row, Finley Chevy is the number one Chevrolet volume dealership west of Texas. Again! Woo! With huge savings, giant discounts, and our enormous inventory of new and pre-owned vehicles, you'll get the Chevrolet you want at the price you deserve. Come see why thousands have made the switch to Finley Chevrolet, home of the... Woo! Located in the southwest at the 215 in South Rainbow. Find new roads.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B, and I want to talk to you about Embajador Tequila, the official tequila of Raider Nation Radio's In the Huddle. Whether it's celebrating a big win or just kicking back after work, adding Embajador Tequila takes every gathering to the next level. The care, quality, and patience put into every bottle can be tasted from the first sip to the last, and it's why we're honored to call Embajador our teammate. So do yourself a favor and pick up some Embajador Tequila on your next stop at the store, or just go to their website, EmbajadorTequila.com. Embajador Tequila, the official tequila of Raider Nation Radio's In the Huddle.
Hey, it's Cofield. I got to tell you about my pals at Nova Home Loans. May was Military Appreciation Month. Well, they've made 2021 Military Appreciation Year. That means with these record low interest rates and now no processing fees, it's a great opportunity for veterans and active duty military to refinance their existing loan or purchase a home today. No processing fee means a savings of $1,300. But you got to call them 877-700-NOVA. It's Nova Home Loans. Tell them Cofield sent you, 877-700-NOVA.
NMLS 25011, branch NMLS 777-362.
The MGM Resorts NBA Summer League returns for 75 games of action featuring all 30 NBA teams August 8th through 17th at the Thomas and Mack Center at Cox Pavilion. See the stars of tomorrow, take center stage, and electrify the best fans in the NBA right here in Vegas. Adults $40, kids $30, reserve seats available. Tickets on sale now at the Thomas and Mack Center box office, NBAEvents.com, or call 702-739-FANS. Ticketing fees apply.
Hi, I'm Derek Stevens, owner and chief executive officer of Circa Sports, home of the world's largest sports book, and now the largest football contest guarantee in history. We've got $10 million on the line between our two contests. Circa Millions has $4 million in guarantees, including $1 million in quarterly.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.